Milo's Money Days are here, and we're making it rain for rewards members. For the first time ever, when you make a purchase of $200 or more through July 12th, you'll get up to $30 back in extra Milo's money. Not a member yet? Join for free today, because members get more at Lowe's. Milo's Money Award varies based on status. Members in gold get 30, silver get 20, and bronze get 10. Milo's Money valid for 30 days. Restrictions and more terms at Lowe's.com/Milo's Money Days.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's go to another one. Asa Alrip shared a home with Rex Heurman for nearly three decades, roughly 1,300 square feet. It wasn't big, a secured room that had a metal door in the basement. And prosecutors alleging some of the murders may have happened inside while she was away. Asa's hair, his ex-wife, her hair was found on multiple victims. She called him her savior in a documentary, dismissed the planning documents originally as absurd, and said she'd need to hear it from him face to face before she believed it. Well, that's happened. She heard it sitting in the courtroom when he pled guilty to 8 murders. Now a civil lawsuit is forcing her to defend in court what she says she never knew. That's what we're going to be talking about. And your thoughts in the comment section as we work through it. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program with us. So is Eric Faddis, defense attorney and former prosecutor. Eric, Asa Elrup's attorney has said she was away every time one of these murders occurred. And prosecutors have backed that up. It appears that, yeah, legitimately, that was the schedule. It seemed kind of ridiculous, I think, when we heard it originally, but that's what the timetable has shown us. But the civil complaint alleges she knew of, concealed, or consciously avoided learning. Consciously avoided learning. That's interesting. About what was actually happening here. As someone who's prosecuted these sort of arguments and defended against them, how strong is willful blindness as a claim against a spouse when even the prosecution says that she wasn't there?
You know, Tony, I surely understand these victims' families trying to seek redress through any avenue they can. But I read over the complaint this morning, and it is a stretch. It is a stretch legally. It's a stretch factually. Mm-hmm. You know, just alleging someone's willful ignorance, that's usually not sufficient to have them be held responsible in the criminal side, certainly not in the even in the civil side with a lower burden and everything. Just mm-hmm. the fact that she, you know, maybe tried to put her hands over her ears or something, that doesn't somehow make her legally responsible for these deaths. So I think they're kind of reaching here a lot mm-hmm. on the plaintiff's side.
Yeah. There is a pattern here with this. I mean, there's a documented history of this sort of thing happening in other cases. Gary Ridgway's wife lived with him for over a decade, had no idea what was going on. BTK's wife was married to him for over 30 years, completely blindsided. Alrip's situation does fit that pattern. And in a civil trial, can the defense put these up as evidence of prior cases where similar type things were going on? Can they put those cases in front of a jury to reframe her for from a co-conspirator to a victim? And does that sort of precedent in history have any sort of weight?
So defense would have to get creative in order to do that. I think they would have to get some kind of mental health expert or behavioral expert. Robin, hey, they might hire you on this to talk about behavioral and psychological and personality patterns of folks who are in the same position as the wife here, Asa. And if they did, they could probably reference, you know, here's why we think this. We look at these prior cases and we look at, the position that those folks were in. Asa's in the same position here is what the defense may argue through an expert. Now, will the court allow that? That would be a bit unorthodox, but it's very possible that information could get in front of a jury and they could say, hey, compared to these other cases, it seems like this defendant was in the same boat.
So I'm also curious, Eric, you know, they're going after her civilly, yet they don't, outside of whatever they may have made on the Peacock special for her going on and telling her story, we don't know exactly how much she made on that. The family, it does not look like they have a huge number of assets. Why else would you do it? So if she didn't go on that show and potentially make money from that, what would they really gain out of prosecuting her and trying to go down the civil road?
It's a good question, Robin. In the complaint, they do talk about a claim for unjust enrichment, essentially saying that Asa should not have received money and profited off of deaths of which they claim she was aware and perhaps had some involvement in concealing. But besides that piece of it, what's the payoff for the plaintiff? Is it closure? Is it justice in their eyes? Perhaps. But the monetary piece of this, you know, how is the attorney going to get paid? If the attorney, if there aren't significant damages on the line, you know, they have to work out these practical issues in terms of legal representation. Is it just, you know, fame and notoriety for the attorney? I don't know. There are these intangibles that could be being sought by the plaintiffs that are perhaps non-economic.
I mean, and unjust enrichment is, I mean, that I get if, you know, Huerman was trying to write a book. I mean, or like OJ did, if I did it. That's why we have laws like that for the actual people who commit the crimes.
From
the
Son of Sam law.
The Son of Sam laws from trying to get rich off of their own doings. It doesn't necessarily apply to victims. It's about the perspective as to which you're looking at this. Is Asa a victim? By all standards of criminal law, she is. Civil is a different world. Opinion, the public opinion, is a different world because it's just that. It's an opinion, and civil tends to go more towards the world of public opinion. So if someone is looking at her as, you know, another victim of Rex Huerman, completely blindsided, she's there spending her life. She spent her life with this person. You know, some may say you wasted your life with this person, considering what the outcome has been. She would have every right, just as anyone else would, to tell her story, which she did in that documentary. And she was very honest about it. She wasn't sitting there using that documentary as necessarily as a woe me. And she wasn't necessarily, you know, saying the victims are liars or horrible people. She was saying she believed at that moment in time that she thought he was innocent. Turns out she was wrong. She's accepted that already. Is there anything wrong? I mean, if this lawsuit were to be successful against her for unjust enrichment, does that set a precedent going forward for other folks who might find themselves in the throes of another member of their household being a horrible human being, committing crimes, being blindsided to it, and then saying, yeah, I'll take $1 million to tell my story on Peacock? It's not that they did anything, but there's also nothing really wrong about telling your story either.
Totally, Tony. I mean, we see all these true crime documentaries that are very popular right now, and it's often interviews with people who were sort of crime adjacent, that they mm-hmm. were near, they were privy, right. that they had perhaps information or at least experiences. But also what could come into play here that I don't think anyone's talked about is Austin might have a First Amendment right to tell her story. And even though this is a civil context, there are cases that talk about if there is a claim brought in the civil world and the court essentially administers the deprivation of a person's First Amendment right by overseeing the case and enforcing a judgment against that person when doing so would violate the First Amendment, I think there's a potential First Amendment defense.
Yeah.
And it really goes to the principle that, hey, we all, as a general rule, should be able to tell our story. Now, if we offed a bunch of people, shouldn't be able to make money on that. But if it's just a witness or someone who is just in that world, they probably have that right still.
Mm-hmm. Do you think her thinking that and proclaiming so profusely on that special how he's innocent and her entire context of him, do you think that helps or hinders her case?
I think that it could go both ways, but I think defense is going to say, hey, this is consistent with someone who just had no knowledge. My gosh, if you were married to somebody and you truly didn't know about their misdeeds, you would probably take the position that, hey, everything I have seen indicates that this spouse, my guy, is innocent. And that's consistent with someone who is sort of oblivious and doesn't have a true knowledge of the gruesome details that have come to light since then.
Yeah, I agree.
This has to go to trial yet in a civil case. What is the judge going to be looking at here? Could this get thrown out before we get to an actual civil trial here? Does a judge still have to make a ruling on that, or is this on a green light to actually get in front of a jury?
I think that there is a reasonable likelihood that this case might be dismissed. When I read the complaint, basically what the plaintiff is claiming is that the wife, Asa, had some knowledge and then was either willfully ignorant of other facts and or helped aid and abet, helped conceal, helped Rex somehow get away with this. In my appraisal, the complaint is pretty scarce as to the precise details, as now Asa allegedly did that. And so I think that it's pretty thin. A judge might see it as somewhat flimsy and might say, hey, look, if you're going for a wrongful death case, you got to go against the person who caused the death, not just this peripheral actor who might have been caught up in it. And so there's a chance this case doesn't get to the trial phase because the judge throws it out.
Do you think there's going to be multiples on this for other victims as well?
It's possible. You know, there's also a statute of limitations issue that's arising. You know, usually you can only bring a wrongful death claim within 2 years, I believe, in New York of the incident happening. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions for if the claimant, the child, was a minor when that statute run. There are exceptions for newly discovered information, things like that. But I think there's a chance that a lot of these claims might be barred by the statute of limitations, even if someone were to view them as valid.
Right. It's an interesting case and one that does require some critical thinking. We've been soaking ourselves in this case for several years now. So we've been able to, you know, absorb a lot of it. And I remember early on in this case, when I first heard about the Asa dynamic, I think my initial gut reaction was bullshit. She didn't know anything. Today, I don't feel that way because I've done critical thinking. I've heard more about it. I've listened to what she's had to say. I've watched the doc and everything that's come out. And my opinion is not that. I think she was a victim here, too, in my opinion. I don't think everybody would be that. I think just she had the makeup, her history, her past, her mind, the way she processes information. All of it seems to be logical that she willfully did not know any of this information. And maybe willfully is the right thing. Not that she knew exactly what was going on, but maybe I don't want to know this about my husband. There's certain secrets over here that he can keep, but not necessarily thinking that he's doing this sort of thing. But that does require a bit of critical thinking. And if you're going for a jury that doesn't know a lot about this case, that's a lot of information to take in a short period of time and get there. If this reaches a jury, the plaintiff puts a photo of a 1,300 square foot house with a metal door in the basement and asks if 12 people believe a woman lived there for decades and missed everything. The defense puts up a woman battling cancer whose own daughter didn't know, who cooperated fully with law enforcement, and who sat in a courtroom and heard her ex-husband confess. You've been on both sides. Which argument do you think wins if this actually does make it in front of the jury?
Tony, you know, there is no legal obligation for a spouse to investigate their other their partner, try to learn every single bad act that that person did, and then go tell the authorities or go try to bring about some action because of it. I think that's kind of what the plaintiff in a perfect world would hope, but that's not the law. And so I really think that Asa, the wife, has a strong legal defense in this case. I think that in addition to everything we've talked about, there's something called the intervening cause doctrine, where Asa's going to say, hey, even if I had some information, maybe I should have done something different, but I didn't cause this. I didn't do this. And when the intervening cause is so material, so profound to the damages occasioned, sometimes a judge will say, hey, things are too attenuated here. You're going after the wrong person. I think for a number of reasons, the wife also wins this case.
I also think it's interesting because we've talked about this numerous times too, is Rex chose her very specifically to be a partner because he could maintain the facade he needed with someone who wasn't going to ask a lot of questions, who didn't have a lot of curiosity, that put him on a type of pedestal, that allowed him to hide the way he wanted to hide and keep the secrets he wanted to keep. I think that's going to be part of it as well, just because, you know, she was taken advantage of by him. And she might have married him for better reasons than he married her, without a doubt.
Is there a reason we haven't seen other lawsuits against Asa civilly? Is it because other attorneys have said, yeah, that's going to go nowhere?
That's my apprehension, is that, you know, in looking over the complaint, I just think that it is such a stretch. It's such a reach. And if I was an attorney reviewing it, I'd probably say, for a number of reasons, that I would decline it. One is on the merits. I just don't think legally you're going to win that case against Asa. Two, practically speaking, you know, how is the attorney going to get paid? Who knows how much funds Asa actually got from this and how much has been spent since then? There's probably a very limited amount of assets still presently available. And an attorney might say, hey, this is not worth, you know, a 4-year legal saga if we're going to make it out of here with $30,000.
Unless it's not about the money and it's about the notoriety.
Mm. Which, Could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? We'll find out. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in there. And we'll continue our conversation there in the comments. Eric Faddis, as always, thank you for joining us. Great conversation. Robin's book, It's Not All About Me. It is available wherever you get books, Amazon, wherever you can find it. Go and check that out. All right. Until next time, for Eric, Robin, and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.